Mike Palm. We're going to have a great show on tap today. Andrew Bailey of Bleacher Report is going to join us. We're going to talk NBA, particularly in terms of trades. Are there teams that you may not be looking at that are going to acquire a player at the trade deadline that could help you in the futures market? Also, Andre Drummond's going to be a big question mark as to where he's going to go. We're going to try and get that addressed when he joins us. But, Mike, let's start in the hardwood. Last night, the Lakers get shellacked in Salt Lake City. The Utah Jazz have now, in 32 games, won 22 of them by double digits. Impressive.
Yeah, we talk about Lay at 9 points and LeBron, how he had won both games straight up when catching nine. This really wasn't close. This another wire-to-wire job. 15 in a row, 14-1 against the spread for Utah at home. I mean, it's tough to lay against the Lakers, but it really wasn't last night. And we see this team just too one-dimensional with LeBron.
Yeah, absolutely. And the bettors kind of had the same perspective that you and I thought, you know, nine would be too many. Line closed at 8.5, total of 219.5. Game stays under this total in this matchup. But again, to your point, a 25-point victory, thought it really sent a message. This Lakers team, without Anthony Davis, without Schroeder in the lineup, they're just not the same team. And I think the value on LeBron James for MVP has to drop now. I think when you look at this team, they're non-competitive.
Well, you're right. And when we talk about when you're playing, when one of your other superstars is out, I mean, obviously Harden has risen to the occasion much more than LeBron has, taking that team on his shoulders and the 7-game winning streak for the Nets. We see Davis goes out. They struggle. They don't cover their first two wins and now lose 4 in a row.
Well, what about the fact that Damian Lillard, you know, he's had McCollum out for the majority of the season. Then, of course, you got Nurkic out. And you look at the fact that Steph Curry, he's doing it without Klay Thompson. I don't think the triple single is contributing enough where you're going to sit there and say it diminishes what Steph's been able to do thus far this year. So something to consider if you're looking at the futures market. LeBron currently sitting at plus 150. You have Joel Embiid at plus $3. Nikola Jokic at 6-1. I don't like Jokic at 6-1. I think Denver's got to play better as a whole. Steph Curry, I just think because of how popular he is, and I understand this is a media vote, but Steph is a guy that's well-liked at 14-1, and Luka at 14-1. Doncic could make some noise if the Mavericks as a whole make some noise.
Yeah, but they're still 500 right now. And then you look at Golden State. Are they going to be a playoff team? Maybe they will, but they're not going to be a top four team in the West.
Right.
I don't know about Embiid. Is Embiid hurt by the fact that Simmons has made such great improvements this year? Does that hurt his case for how good the Sixers are?
I think that's a great question, Mark. And you look at Ben Simmons. This is a guy, the young Australian's got a chance to be potentially the defensive player of the year in this league. He can shut anybody down 1 through 5, not just 1 through 4. His size is a huge factor in his defensive effort. And we see Embiid, the number getting shorter and shorter, 3-1. Rudy Gobert right now, the odds-on favorite at minus $2. Miles Turner, plus $3. Ben Simmons at 6-1. I like Simmons here, but I think Gobert, because of the success of the Utah Jazz, will end up getting a lot of votes.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to lay $2, but I think he's obviously the clear front runner right now.
Let's go to college basketball lesson. I'll tell you right now, I got absolutely smoked 6 ways to Sunday, and I'm mad at myself for a couple of plays I laid off on. I did get off my Tennessee play against Vanderbilt because I saw Pippen and Dessou were out in that matchup. You lose 47% of the scoring. These two guys averaged 35.5 points, Mike. I almost got middled because I ended up laying 8, taking 10. I said, I got to take my chance. I thought Tennessee would win comfortably. Victor Bailey with a big game. The Oregon transfer played well. But North Carolina gets run out of the gym. UNLV slips up at home. Well, impressive job by the Razorbacks at Bud Walton.
They did. They withstood the run from Alabama. Alabama took the lead early in the second half, came back, and then they answered the run. They're very, very good at home. Musselman's doing a great job there. Do you think North Carolina is still a cinch to make it to the tournament?
I never thought they were to begin with. I thought they got a lot of credit for the Duke win, and now Duke has played better. But I think this Carolina loss hurts the league as a whole. You see Virginia losing at home to NC State. This is an NC State team that got roughed up by Syracuse and Duke at home. When you look at the top of the ACC, not including Florida State, and I still think Virginia is a very good team, I think the rest of the league, it's just very mediocre at best.
I agree with you as well, and I think the only team in that league that can really make a run. I hate to count Tony Bennett out, but they go through such lulls in scoring, and their style is just so different. But I think Leonard Hamilton's team is the one that could give matchup problems to some of these teams out of the Big Ten or Baylor and Gonzaga.
Yeah, I wanted to go to the Big Ten real quickly. I don't know if you had a chance to yesterday. Rutgers was trailing against Indiana. Mike, I took +6.5 in-game on Rutgers. They end up coming back and winning this game comfortably. I think that's such an advantage for people that are new to the in-game side. You've got to take advantage of it. The original line, 2.5, and I'm surprised this number got bet down. Taking the Hoosiers, going on the road with Archie Miller at the rack, that's like burning money.
They're tough at home, always Rutgers, and Indiana after that epic collapse against Michigan State at home.
You brought that up yesterday. I thought it was a really good point in terms of where is this team, where are they headed? That's a big question mark. We'll see as their schedule kind of moves forward if this team can really be a challenger. We're going to be right back in just a minute after this break. Welcome into the Nuts. I'm your host, Amal Shaw, alongside my guy, Mike Palm. We're going to have Andrew Bailey of Bleacher Report joining us today. We're going to break down some possible trades. Where does Andre Drummond wind up? I'm a big Andre Drummond fan, Mike. I think he's a guy that can add a lot to a team because he's kind of, to me, this generation's version of Dennis Rodman. Doesn't have to score, can rebound and play defense. And when you look at his size, he's your first-team all-airport guy.
Yeah, well, I'm interested to ask Andrew Bailey just how much value he still has, right? Yeah. He's been away from the team. He hasn't been playing. I thought when he was in Detroit, he probably had a higher value overall. But we get a perspective, an NBA insider.
Well, I don't think he should be too tired from sliding into DMs on Instagram. So he should be okay and ready to go when the postseason rolls around. Also, of course, we'll get into the NBA card tonight. We'll get into college basketball, the National Hockey League. But, Mike, let's start with last night. The Los Angeles Lakers, 25-point losers, get blown out in Salt Lake City. The Utah Jazz, first team in NBA history in their first 32 games to win 22 of them by at least 10 points. Impressive run last night.
You said it was an important game for Utah not to get beat by the Lakers without Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
And it looked like they were focused last night. They came out in the first quarter. They took this game to the Lakers. The Lakers were trying to play catch-up. And then, you know, this team runs out of gas. It's hard for them to put four quarters together with only LeBron.
It really is. And, you know, you mentioned this, and you've said it a few times, and I think you're absolutely right on this, and it's something that needs to be paid attention to, which is LeBron James' minutes. How many minutes is he going to continue to shoulder the load? Because for the Lakers, the regular season doesn't matter. You're not going to go 16-0 at home and 12-0-12 on the road. So whether they're at home or away is not going to make that much of a difference. But to me, at some point in time, his minutes have to come down.
They have to. I mean, he's at what is this, his 18th season?
Yeah.
I mean, third most minutes in the league? Where are we going here? What are they doing? I mean, this is the team of all time. I mean, you look at the other side of the city with the Clippers and what they're doing with rest and how they pace their players and load even in a 72 game. And then you have the exact opposite with LeBron out there 42, 43, 44 minutes every night.
Yeah, that's a real concern when you move forward this Utah Jazz team. Here's the thing. I get how well the Jazz are playing. They're going to get the home court advantage, it looks like, as we get through the season. But still, when you get AD and Schroeder back on that lineup, it changes the dynamic, in my opinion, for the Lakers. I think they still become the favorite in the Western Conference. I still think the Clippers are a legitimate challenger. I am not ready to buy Utah, and neither are the odds makers. When you look at the conference odds right now, the Utah Jazz sitting at 5-1, Lakers plus 120, Clippers plus 250. Think about this. In the NFL, if you had a team that was off to an 8-0 start or 7-1, and the team that we perceive to be the second-best team or third-best team is sitting at 5-3 or 4-4, they wouldn't be the odds-on favorite.
No, they wouldn't. The other team would be you'd have to lay a price to get it here. So we'll see. I mean, that doesn't mean that they don't think Utah's going to end up with the best record. They just don't think that they're going to be able to win the Western Conference throughout the playoffs here. I don't know. I think this Utah team continues to impress. They went to Staples. They gave the Clippers a great game the other night. I mean, it's not like they got run out of the gym. That game could have went either way. So I think right now the interesting matchup is the Clippers in Utah. Until AD comes back, we see which one of these two teams shines in the West.
I think that's a really good point. I think this Clippers team is still very dangerous. They're going to need a little bit of bench play and some point guard play. I think that's going to be critical for them down the stretch, something to pay attention to. Also, last night, I'm mad at myself. You know, one of the things I love about doing this show is you get so many ideas from, like, what you should consider or take a look at because you might bring something up or we might go through a particular game. And the one that I missed last night was the Atlanta Hawks. You and I both said they should have been the home favorite, and they were actually a home dog against the Boston Celtics, catching two. Mike, the game wasn't even close. I'm looking up at the score, and I'm like, there's not even an opportunity to get in on this one in game. They're up 13 at the end of one. They win this game by 15, 127-112.
Yeah, and where are the Celtics right now? I mean,
outside of the playoffs.
They can't win a game on the road.
No.
And they just can't. They couldn't win in Dallas. They came close. This now they've lost two out of three to Atlanta in the last 9 days. I mean, I don't know where this team's at, and I don't know why they continue to take the money.
Yeah, I don't either. His team continues to struggle, and until Boston turns things around, I think it's a team that you got to look to bet against. And I don't think the odds makers have adjusted enough in terms of their numbers yet with this Boston team. We saw Miami get the win. They were laying 2.5 against Toronto. They win that game by 8 yesterday. Chicago has to go to overtime against your favorite team, the Minnesota Timberwolves. Zach LaVine winds up with 33 points, but this is a team, or excuse me, 35. I think this is a team in Minnesota that you're going to have some opportunities to bet against. You got to pay attention to that.
Yeah, we both thought the line at four was too light. We thought it was six and a half. Minnesota gave them a great game, and then eventually the Bulls cover the number in overtime. If you had the T-Wolves, another bad beat. There's the graveyard of the dogs.
It really was. Speaking of dogs, I got crushed yesterday in college basketball. Marquette goes on the road to the Dean Dome, wins outright. Game wasn't even close. Carolina cuts it to one in the first half. That was it. That was the only chance they had in that one. They get blown out. Give Marquette credit. They win this game comfortably, 83-79. I thought this final score is indicative of where the game really was throughout. Basically, a 10-14-point working margin for Marquette for the majority of the second half. They roll in this one. Game goes over the total. They were plus 367 at DraftKings, and they get the outright win. Tennessee, I had to get off of that game because I had Vanderbilt. They're without Pippen and DC in that one. And to me, when you look at this team, without 35.5 points a game from your two leading scorers, Pippen, the second leading scorer in SEC play, line ends up going at 12, and it ends up at that 70-58. But, Mike, I took Vandy plus 8 on the overnight, and then I had to come back with Tennessee minus 10. I thought there was a possibility I might get middled.
Well, it hung around 10, yeah, 12 for exactly a long time in that game. I mean, they never really got it beyond 14, so it hung around the number. At least your team scored points. I mean, I tried to fade the Stars yesterday, and the Panthers couldn't score a goal at home. Again, the Stars first period under, 15-1 to the first period.
Yeah, but see now I got to change my tune here because I was going to make fun of you for your team not scoring. But the good thing in hockey is if you don't score, you can still win in overtime.
You could win in a shootout.
That's exactly right. So we'll pay attention. Maybe we'll have a little bit better luck when we get into our plays a little bit later on. But let's get into the NBA card tonight, Mike. We talked about two potential MVP candidates, Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks, taking on Joel Embiid and the Philadelphia 76ers. Doncic, again, remember, 14-1, Embiid at 3-1. Anything jumping out for you in this particular matchup between these two teams as Philly is a 5-point favorite with a total of 229?
Yeah, I would look at the home side here. I haven't bet this game. They're good at home. 13-2 at home, and you've got a full starting lineup for the 76ers. You know, Dallas is just inconsistent. They win a game, they lose the game, they're two games below, they get to 500. I tell you what's made a difference here in the last 10 games for Philadelphia has been Tobias Harris, giving him 20 points a game, shooting 53% from the field.
I mean, this guy can shoot the basketball, and I think what he is the number three option on most teams in most situations, and that's the perfect scenario here in Philadelphia with him. And one thing I want to pay attention to in this matchup is turnovers. Dallas has the third fewest turnovers in the league. Philadelphia currently ranks 27th. That's going to be critical in this matchup if the 76ers are going to be able to cover this number. I'm going to stay away from this game. Again, I think it's an in-play opportunity. If you see Philly get behind early on, maybe take a look at Dallas. But for me, I'm going to stay away from this matchup.
Let's turn our attention to the Brooklyn Nets. I want to say one in New Jersey. They play Orlando tonight. They've won 7 in a row. They keep covering all these games. They played Orlando earlier in the year. They won by 7 on January 16th in Brooklyn. The number tonight, 8.5 now, to money coming in on the Nets. I know you typically try to fade the Magic.
Yeah, I do, especially when they're away from home. To me, the Magic, you only play them when they're at the Kingdom down in Orlando. Otherwise, in this particular spot, this is a team, Mike, in Orlando, 30th in field goal percentage. Brooklyn Nets, opposite end of the spectrum, number one in the league. I think this is a game they should be able to roll. Now, I have some concerns from an injury standpoint for Brooklyn right now when you look at this one. Obviously, Durant's still going to be out of the lineup. That's a big blow. Landry Shamet, I know, is not a name you're concerned with, but it's just an addition to the bench that helps out. He plays about 18 minutes a game, just losing guys along the way. I still think this team is dangerous, and I'm not going to touch this game at 8.5, but I would look towards the home team. I don't think they're getting enough credit for the greatness of James Harden offensively and what Kyrie Irving and this team are able to do. And they've gotten better defensively. And you mentioned Harden carrying the load.
Yeah, they've just been outstanding. I mean, they go to the West Coast and sweep that road trip. They came back home. We said, you know, the first game home off a long road trip is typically a fade spot. No, it wasn't. They covered the number, and now they come back for their second game at home here. I still think right now they're playing the best of anybody in the East. It's them in Philadelphia. So, you know, 8's a big number, 8.5 now, but I could not take it with Orlando here. Now we have a team in the Kings who've lost 8 games in a row.
I'm glad you went to that game.
Wait a minute here. 8 games in a row, including 3 in a row on the road. They go to Madison Square Garden tonight, and they're only catching 1.5 against the Knicks, who've won 3 out of 4 at home.
This is Knicks. It's not even a discussion. Well, the only thing I will say here is the line's 1.5. Mike, the money line's at minus 120. I would play the money line in this particular instance instead of laying 1.5. That's the only difference for me here. But you mentioned this Sacramento Kings team continues to struggle. De'Aaron Fox is going to have to play better for this team overall. I know he's had a good season, but he's still got to be a little bit better if this team's going to end that losing streak. And they've got to do a better job on the glass. That's what the problem comes in with the Sacramento Kings team. They're at the bottom 6-7 in the league in terms of rebounding. Knicks are a top 5 team. Julius Randle, an all-star. Who would have thought that when he came out of Kentucky? based on the way he played in Los Angeles initially, you would have never thought you see that. But Julius Randle's having a terrific season. He's currently 18-1 to win the NBA's Most Improved Player. Jeremy Grant at -230. Christian Wood at 8-1. I didn't realize you can win an award without actually playing any games. Jaylen Brown at 10-1.
Yeah. It's tough to do them all. Let's go to Memphis. The Clippers now, with four mentioned, we talked about best teams in the West, travel to Memphis tonight. Lou Williams will be resting for the Clippers.
Well, he's got two girlfriends. The guy gets tired.
Killian Tilly out for the Grizzlies, a team you usually like to look at home. Clippers laying 8 in this spot, 225.5.
Yeah, I like the 8 here with the home team. I think it's too big of a number. Here's the other thing to remember when you get teams like the Clippers, Lakers, and I'm not putting the Clippers in the same breath as the Los Angeles Lakers, but you still get a little bit of a better effort out of teams at home when you bring in a bigger opponent. You got, obviously, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George there. So for me, I like the Grizzlies here, +8. I think it's a little bit of a big number. I tell you, that's the one thing I've had a hard time so far in this early part of the NBA season, wrapping my head around some of these numbers. To me, I thought this number should have been about 5.5 or 6. I thought it was too much of a skew in terms of the Los Angeles Clippers. Now, it doesn't mean they might not win this game by 15. But with all that being said, I still think there's not enough credit given to teams at home.
Amal, I want to jump to college basketball. Yep. We've got a pair of terrific matchups in the Big Ten tonight, as well as in the Pac-10.
Yeah.
Pac-12, Big Ten, whatever. How many teams they have now? 17, 18. Let's talk about the feature game of the night, a top-10 matchup at Chrysler Arena. The Iowa Hawkeyes, currently ranked 9th in the country, go to play Michigan. Michigan coming off that outstanding game Sunday in Columbus, just a great college basketball game. They've won 11 in a row now, Michigan. They're 11-1 in the Big Ten, 16-1 overall. Wieskamp for Iowa. We talk about Garza. Wieskamp shooting almost 50% from 3 on 113 attempts. Michigan, the number 5 here, Amal, 155, a high total.
Yeah, Wieskamp's a guy who's going to play in the NBA because of his ability to shoot the ball. He's a bigger guy on the perimeter, does a terrific job. This Iowa team, number 3 in the nation, and 3-point field goal percentage, outstanding. I know probably a lot of this they learned from you back in Iowa. But the reality of it is they don't play enough defense. Michigan is number 5 in the country in field goal percentage defense. It is tough to be able to score the basketball against them. I know Ohio State shot the ball particularly well, but I thought that game was a little bit of an aberration in terms of how effective and efficient both offenses were in that matchup. For me, though, the thing is going to be the critical thing in this game for Iowa is they can't fall behind. If they fall behind, Mike, I think they're going to be in some serious trouble here. 5 is a big number. Think about this. When's the last time we saw the Hawkeyes getting a number like this outside of a game against Gonzaga? Usually they're a team that's even a road favorite in almost every venue in the Big Ten outside of Columbus and Ann Arbor. Tonight in Ann Arbor is going to be a tough game. Any leans for you here?
I like Michigan. I'll tip the playbook off. I like Michigan here as a two-unit play tonight, laying the 5. I would have made this number closer to 7. I just think I was so impressed with it. Derek's been telling me this Michigan team is the best Michigan team they've ever had. Better than Ramil Robinson that won a national. Better than the second year of the Fab Five that lost to Carolina in the final. Because they all know how to play basketball. They have such a high basketball IQ. They were really impressive. I didn't know that they could sustain the shooting. They didn't sustain the shooting in the second, but they still won that game and pulled away against Ohio State.
Do me a favor when you talk to Derek. Ask him, did he miss the 89 and 93 seasons?
No.
Listen, this is a very good team. Come on. That Fab Five team, remember, they were down big at McHale Center against UCLA. They come back. They get to the national championship game. The missed free throw and the unfortunate timeout incident there. But, and of course, the 89 team, Glenn Robinson, I think he still holds the record for most points over 6 games in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah. You know, first of all, even if the timeout, they missed the travel. That was a very well-officiated game.
By the way,
but Weber,
hey, hold on.
Weber traveled off the rebound.
Since we're talking about this, my question is, Jalen Rose, you know, he talks about it. He goes, he never talked to Weber about it. I want to know why he never came and got the ball from Chris Weber. Magic Johnson did not have A.C. Green bringing the ball up the floor. DJ did not have McHale bringing the ball up the floor.
Very good point.
I don't get that. Let's go to another game you wanted to talk about.
Well, I do. I want to talk about your alma mater, the team you never like to bet on. The Ohio State Buckeyes. I mean, what have you passed on their last 5 road covers? They're going to a tricky spot tonight up to East Lansing. You know, Michigan State came off their best game of the year against Illinois. They got down 5-0, then they blitzkrieged them. You know, they're trying to make a push. They still believe up there they can get in the tournament. Ohio State has won 6 in a row on the road, averaging 9-point victory margin. They took care of Michigan State in Columbus at the end of January on the 31st, winning by 17. 7 straight Michigan State has won against the Buckeyes in East Lansing. Number here, we saw open 4, total of 144.5 up to 145.5.
Well, outside of this season, if you go back over 2 decades, I mean, they probably have multiple, like double-digit winning streaks against everybody at the Breslin Center. This is a team that, for me, was always dominant. I love betting them on that national championship season in 2000. But, Mike, here's the thing, what I saw in the Illinois game, and I don't know if Michigan State's going to be able to duplicate it. They shot the ball particularly well on offense. Defensively, there was not a single easy possession for the Illini. If they can guard Ohio State that way, they've got a chance to be able to cover this number. Look, I thought there was an overreaction. You and I talked about it, and I regretted not playing it. I thought it was too high with 6.5 with the Illini. This number at 4 is, I think, right where it should be, but I'm not going to touch the Buckeyes here. I would have to look towards the home team. This is, look, if you beat Illinois and you win out Indiana and then you beat Ohio State at home, it gives Michigan State a great opportunity to make the tournament.
It's, yeah, but they're going to be below 500 in the Big Ten. Can you make it at below 500 in your conference?
They're in the hardest conference in the country. You've got four teams in the top 10 in college basketball. I think when you look at the teams that they've had to face this year, Iowa twice, obviously Illinois they beat, Ohio State here a second time. I think you have to take all those things into consideration. I don't think you can discount the league that they play in. I mean, if they were playing in the Mountain West, where do you think they are?
They'd be fifth in the Mountain West.
Oh, stop it. Give me a break,
What are
dude.
You talking about? Colorado State's a better team than Michigan State.
In what world?
In this world. In this world, of this world where they get run out of the gym in a lot of these places.
You know, listen, I apologize. I shouldn't have posed that question to you. You used to watch a Notre Dame basketball. You guys don't even know what recruiting two other players outside of the top three players on your team
is. We miss John McLeod.
John McLeod. Thank God you didn't mention Digger Phelps. This guy thinks because he beat UCLA one time, you would think he thinks this is the second coming of John Wooden. When we come back, we're going to see if we can do better on the NHL slate than we did yesterday. That's next when The Nuts continues here on VSiN. Indeed delivers great candidates fast. In fact, Indeed delivers four times more hires than all other job sites combined, according to Talent Nest. More at Indeed.com/credit. Mike, let's go to the National Hockey League. A terrific matchup taking place between the Boston Bruins and the New York Islanders tonight in this one. You've got Halak going up against, Varlamov?
Varlamov, yeah.
Thank you.
I still, you know, we have it wrong. I thought we were going to fade the Bruins because they were a one-line team this year, but they've played very, very, very well. And I still think the Islanders are going to make some noise here. I like Barry Trotz's team. They don't give up many goals, just to generate some more offense. I'm looking the first period under here. Halak's goals against 1.66. He's the backup, right? And this is the best 1-2 punch in hockey. And then Varlamov's been outstanding, 8-4-2 with the 2.06. We'll go under 1.5 in the first period and lay a 135 here.
I can appreciate your angle on this one. I don't think it's a problem at all. I like the under 5.5 here. I think the only problem is, again, high line. But the Islanders the other day against the Sabres had a high line of minus 145, I believe, against Buffalo. That game stays under. I think we're going to see a similar situation. Both these teams defend particularly well. I think whoever scores first, it's going to be a huge advantage in this one.
Yeah, you'll see here in game if Boston gets off to a lead here. Typically, you'd go to $180, $2, $210. It might be $250 if they get a lead in this game.
I tend to agree with you. I like this one under 5.5. Blackhawks and Blue Jackets, and I bring this game up because I know Subban is in goal against Korpisalo. Is this going to be a game where you potentially fade Chicago?
Yeah, I think you have to. I think Lankinen's been so good. He had to finally get a day off. You get Subban, Korpisalo for the Blue Jackets. It's a cheap price at home. I know the Blue Jackets haven't played well. I still think Tortorella's team is better than they are, and I'm willing to lay a buck and a quarter here at home.
Yeah, Columbus minus 124, Blackhawks plus 106. If you like the total here, it's 6 shaded to the under at minus 125. Subban comes in with a 2-1-1 record this year in terms of his numbers. And goals against, not too bad, though, for him at 2.65. I didn't know if this is a guy that could get things turned around in his career. We'll see how it goes tonight. Good rematch again, Carolina and Tampa tonight. This is going to be Reimer against Curtis McElhinney in this matchup. Any particular edge or numbers you like here?
Well, we talked about last night Nedeljkovic going for the Hurricanes and Vasilevskiy, and we thought it was a cheap price, and they won, and Vasilevskiy shut him out. Now you go the opposite way. You get Reimer for the Hurricanes, and you're going to get McElhinney. I think McElhinney's very good. I think this total's too high in this matchup, 6.5. Okay, I think there's more of a – you could look at the first period 1.5 at a plus price. I just don't think this game gets to 7 them all, and I don't think it's 3-3. I think McElhinney is a very serviceable backup here, and Reimer's played well. I thought this number should have been 6, shaded to the under at 6.5. I'll take a shot at a game total.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with your 6.5 play here. I tend to agree with you. I think a lot of this is kind of what we've seen left over from last year with Tampa, where their games would be 6.5 constantly, and they'd go over that total. I think this number could be one you take a look at under 6.5. I don't like it as much as the Islanders and Bruins, but to me, this is one I would consider. Dallas and Florida. Last night, the Stars get to win 3-0 against the Florida Panthers. It'll be Jake Oettinger in net tonight for the Dallas Stars, going up against Sergei Bobrovsky. Good to see a Sergei sighting again. He's playing well down here in Tampa, at least record-wise. I don't know about his goals against doesn't necessarily impress me north of 3, but you have the Panthers as a -125 home favorite, total of 5.5.
Here I would look at a bounce back spot for a good Panther team that didn't score last night, right? And then you get Oettinger, okay, instead of Khudobin. Another cheap price at home, $125.
Want to go to your favorite goaltender, and I know you've got his jersey in your closet, Thomas Greiss. Detroit Red Wings once again taking on the Nashville Predators. Mike, same price as we saw previously. Preds win that previous game 2 days ago, -160. Line sitting at the same number at -160. Total of 5.5. Heavily juiced to the under at -135.
Listen, I'd caution here and make sure that Greiss starts, because I thought they would come back with Bernier tonight in the same playing against the same team. If they came back with Bernier, I like this first period under 1.5. If it's Greiss, you have to auto fade him. Lay the 160 again with the Preds. I know they're not a great team. Greiss is 1-14. If you bet on Thomas Greiss 15 times, you lost 14 times. I mean, and these are all games at home, too. And he started out at a 2-3, a 2-4 goals. I guess now it's up over 3. I just think you have to keep doing it. But if Bernier goes, I'd play under.
Yeah, I understand. I got just a text message from our producer, Sergeant Hartman, back there. And I was told that Jonathan Bernier is unavailable. He's meeting with the family members of Nelson Mandela.
The Bishop Desmond Tutu.
That's exactly right. One particular game, if you're looking at, we'll get to the playbook here shortly, but anything that else jumps out at you in terms of a matchup that you're looking at?
Well, I think if you get Smith, I mean, you got to keep riding Mike Smith. He gave up 3 first period goals to the Canucks on the road the other night. They storm back. They win the game 4-3, a scoreless second period. Yeah. It was 3-1 after one. They get 3 in the third to win. He's 5-0 with the goals against just over 2. Don't you have to keep riding the hot hand?
You absolutely do. And I think you bring up a great point. You mentioned Smith taking him in Edmonton, and then you talked about fading Greiss. I think there's certain times you've got to ride out these streaks until they change. And if they change course, fine. You start getting off of them. But I love the point you made. You've lost 14 out of 15 times with Thomas Greiss.
And he's only getting 140 tonight.
Yeah, that's exactly. I think you got to go with Nashville there. When we come back on the other side, Andrew Bailey of Bleacher Report, we discuss the NBA.
Have you thought about becoming a VSiN subscriber? Well, now is the perfect time with a deal for you. $49.99 gets you the full subscription package all the way through the end of March Madness. What do you get with that? Well, you get 24/7 access to all of the VSiN shows. If you can't watch them live or listen to them live, go back and watch them on your own time. Bill Ady sends a daily Best Bets email, 9:30 Pacific, 12:30 p.m. Eastern time every day. That summarizes all the host bets for the day as well as the guests. Bets Bets. Every Wednesday, Point Spread Weekly breaks down the power rankings on every different team, college and pro. Great job by Steve Mackinnon and his crew. That's a digital magazine. And of course, we're giving you tools in every sport, whether it's hockey, it's soccer, it's tennis, all the experts to help you become a better handicapper. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's $49.99 through the end of the college basketball season. We're back on the Nuts. I'm Mike Palm. He's Amol Shaw, and we're pleased to be joined by Andy Bailey, Bleacher Report, NBA writer, and he joins us this morning. Andy, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We're great, and we're happy you could join us on the show. You can find Andy at Andrew D. Bailey on Twitter. Andy, I want to talk about the West to start off with right now, and it seems, you know, the Lakers won the championship last year. They're missing AD right now. That obviously, that's showing. Are there any possible trades that these teams in the West could make to align themselves to take down the Lakers, Clippers, or even the Jazz right now?
Sure. I think the West is as wide open as it has ever been. I think there are probably four or five teams that you could make a good faith argument could represent the West in the finals. Obviously the Lakers are there and the Jazz have the best record right now. And they just trounced them last night. I think there are some of those teams that could get a little bit closer if they added a solid role player. PJ Tucker is the guy on the Rockets who's probably not long for that situation. I think they're looking to certainly continue their rebuild, and he hasn't been great this season, but if you put him back on a contender, maybe he's more motivated. I think a team like the Clippers could use a guy like that. They already have solid positionless flexibility with Kawhi and PG and Marcus Morris, but you add one more sort of multi-positional defender there who can hit a corner three. I certainly think that would help. The trade idea that I just cannot get away from for the last several months, even though the player and the team that he's currently on, continue to insist he's not going to be moved. Bradley Beal to the Nuggets just makes a ton of sense to me. I think it may be more difficult for Denver to pull off now than it was before the season. Just because I think Michael Porter Jr.'s trade value has probably dipped a little bit over the course of the year. But if they were willing to build something around him and salary filler and some picks, maybe that would be intriguing to Washington. But the idea of Beal as an off-ball threat around Jokic's passing is just really intriguing to me. If you had those two guys and Jamal Murray, I don't know how anybody would stop that offense. They would certainly have problems on the other end, but they would score at a ridiculous rate. So there are certainly moves out there, and I think some of these contenders and fringe contenders are going to be looking around here over the next few weeks.
Andy, I want to kind of stay on this topic. I want to ask you about a team I was making fun of and I was wrong on, which is the Phoenix Suns. This team is playing well, 20-11. We've seen the difference that CP3 has made for them. How do you look at them, and is there an acquisition that would make them a legitimate contender? And with that same thought, what about Portland when they get healthy? They've got the best closer in the NBA.
Sure. I think both of those teams are probably maybe a tier below the ones that we just discussed, and so there are probably some role players around that could help either one of those squads. I think there's an argument for either one of them to stand pat. I like you said, health is a big problem for Portland right now. The fact that they have the record they do without CJ McCollum and Yusuf Nurkic is pretty incredible to me. Frankly, I thought they were going to fall off a cliff when they lost both of those guys. So they haven't really seen the acquisitions that they made this past offseason in the context of the whole team very much yet. So I think those three guys with Covington and Derek Jones Jr., that's a lineup that has a lot of potential there in itself. As for the Suns, they're another team that I think can just kind of continue to grow organically, and that's a little bit more risky because you've got Chris Paul there, and he's obviously nearing the end of his career. But a big part of their core is young guys are going to continue to get better, like Michael Bridges and Cam Johnson. Even Devin Booker probably still has some steps to take, especially on the defensive end. So I think there are certainly, role players that they could look at. I'm not sure either one of those teams is in line for a dramatic move here at the deadline, though.
We're speaking with Andy Bailey, NBA writer for Bleacher Reports. Andy, earlier on the show, Amal and I were talking about the race in the East and it being a two-horse race as of now with the Nets and the 76ers, but specifically about Tobias Harris in the last 10 games for the 76ers emerging as their third star, shooting close to 55% from the field and giving him 20 a game. Does his play at this level make them the best team in the East?
Well, I think you're probably right that it's between those two, and he's somebody that I've had my eye on since very early in the season. I thought all last year that he's just playing the wrong position. If you had him as a playmaking four, the whole floor would open up quite a bit. And the fact that they have plugged him in at that spot and now there's two other shooters there with Danny Green and Seth Curry, I think it's just opened up a bunch of stuff for the Sixers. But he specifically has been phenomenal, really, all season long. So I'm not, I don't know if I can definitively say they're the best team in the East, because when I watch the Nets, even without Kevin Durant, what they're doing recently is plenty impressive. And I think he's a guy who's proven that he can be plugged into about any situation and fit seamlessly. He obviously did that with the Warriors. And I think the same thing will happen with Brooklyn, and all three of those guys are healthy. I think the fact that James Harden has deferred the way he has since he's been there has been huge for them. And then the other thing is I'm not quite ready to count Milwaukee out yet. I know they've had a pretty rough stretch here over the last couple of weeks, and their defense doesn't look anywhere near what it was the last couple seasons before this one. But I still think their potential, they're a team that could represent the East in the finals. I think if I had to power rank those three, I'd probably go Brooklyn, Philly, Milwaukee in some order, with Brooklyn and Philly being slightly ahead.
Well, the odds makers tend to agree with you. Bucks still sitting at 3-1 to win the Eastern Conference. I want to thank Andy Bailey for joining us today. You can follow him on Twitter at Andrew D. Bailey. Does a terrific job. Catch all his NBA work on Bleacher Report. Andy, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Mike, I tell you what, you were right on Tobias Harris, and he agrees with you in terms of the job he's done this year for this team. And I still think, because of what they can do defensively, they are a legitimate shot. I can't believe they're 5, 5.5-1 to win the East.
I can't either. I mean, I think that's a great price. I'd take them anywhere north of 450.
I'm with you. I think they're a legitimate threat to the Brooklyn Nets in this one. I got smoked in the all-in segment yesterday. Mike's team didn't even score a goal. Let's see if we can actually get a goal on a team that stays within 10 points. That's next. Exclusive bets, daily specials, odds boost, and the largest offer of live in-play options, Bet Rivers Sportsbook is the industry leader when it comes to online sports betting. And to make your experience even more rewarding, Bet Rivers offers the most live streams of major sports, instant payouts, and only one-time playthrough. Offer valid in Colorado, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Virginia, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. Available at PlaySugarHouse.com in New Jersey. Must be 21. Gambling problem, Illinois, New Jersey, Pennsylvania. Call 1-800-GAMBLER, Indiana 1-800-9 with the Colorado 1-800-522-4700, Michigan 800-270-7117, Virginia 888-532-3500, Iowa call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Mike, terrific opportunity for us to bounce back. We could not have done any worse than we did yesterday. I took the bagel 0-3. I came in at 16-12, and now I wind up at 16-15. I lost 20% of my entire season total last night.
We met 3.5 years ago, maybe, when we started doing my guys on, you know,
right,
with you and Brent and Vinny, and I've tried to be a mentor to you. I'm trying, and I know your father sees me in that role, but I've
yes, he does have immense respect for you. I'll give you that.
You're betting too many games. Why three? I mean, when you gave out three plays, it couldn't be good.
Well, hold on. Let me justify a couple things. Marquette was 5-10 in their last 15 games. I thought Carolina, this was an important game. You get a non-conference win. I thought they would have an opportunity, and they would dominate the glass. They struggled shooting the basketball, which they have all year. Give Marquette credit. They shot the ball well from the perimeter. They go in there. They win that game comfortably. The UNLV play was a play against Fresno State. You know how anemic that offense is.
Awful.
It really is. And then, you know, the Vanderbilt play, when the two critical injuries were there, it changed the whole dynamic of that one. But what I regret yesterday, I should have had three plays. Providence is my kind of play. Two at home against Xavier. I think they overvalue Xavier out here. And then, of course, Arkansas in the revenge spot at Bud Walton against Alabama. I thought that was another one on a short number.
And the Atlanta Hawks.
Don't even remind me. That should have been a money line play all day easily, plus 120. That would have been a good one.
Well, I tried to fade the Stars yesterday, but they played well defensively. And Florida couldn't score and lost 3-0. So, you know, the first period unders just continue to click with the Stars games, and maybe we should have been looking at that angle. I'm going to come back with a two-unit play today. I'm going to take the Michigan Wolverines. I bet it this morning. I laid 5 here against Iowa. I think this is a tough spot for Iowa to go into Chrysler. Michigan playing so well on both sides of the ball, shot very well against Ohio State. Derek Stevens is very high on this team. I personally would have made this game 6.5 or 7. Maybe we'll see the number creep up a little bit more. Just tough for the Hawkeyes to shoot. They shoot so well from three. We talked about Wieskamp. On the road, though, it's a different dynamic in the Big Ten. And to your point, if the game gets away from them early, it's tough for them to get enough consecutive stops. A team like Wisconsin gives it to them because they go on those outages. Michigan will not. They're too efficient on the offensive end.
I think a couple things to be concerned with from an Iowa perspective here. Dickinson's big. He's going to present some problems for Garza, and he's going to have to chase him around defensively where he normally doesn't have to do as much. It's the defender that has to chase Garza. In this particular instance, I want to see if Garza can prevent himself from getting in foul trouble, because if Garza gets in foul trouble, I think they're in serious trouble tonight. It's going to be a real challenge for the Hawkeyes going into Chrysler. I like the Michigan Wolverines as well in this particular spot.
And then my second play, a one-unit play, we're going to go with Halak and Varlamov under. I know it's a little bit of a steep price to lay in a first period, but these are tough to score against these dudes. To imagine them getting two goals in the first period, I understand where this number's at. So we laid 135 on the first period under.
Look, I don't have a problem with the play, and the reality is if you take the under 5.5, Mike, you're going to be in peril if the first period gets beat anyway. It's going to be 1-1. The only thing I think is that in this matchup, I think to me, when you look at these two teams, it is going to be tough sledding for 60 minutes, and I'm just concerned about getting beat initially. That's always my reservation on the first period plays. But you know what the best part about it is? You're done in 40 minutes, and you don't have to worry about the rest of the game.
You might be done in 5 minutes.
That's fair, too. Let's go to the all-in segment right now. I've got two plays today coming up trying to bounce back. I've got Michigan -4, and I'm going to stay in the state and go with the Detroit Mercy Titans in this one against Robert Morris out of Pittsburgh once again for the third win of the season against Robert Morris here.
Now, we had them Friday. You had them. And I played them. And they were up by like 26.
Yep.
Lay 9.5. And then it got down to 9-8 in the last minute. We kind of got lucky to get the cover there.
Well, first of all, you can't have every game just be USC. Yeah. And you just roll over. So it was interesting. But, you know, there was a great bet against on Detroit on Saturday in the second half against Robert Morris. They were down by 7 at halftime. They came out in the first three possessions. They got three 3-pointers and a 4-point play. They took a 3-point lead. I mean, it was unbelievable the way they were able to run away and hide. I think Antoine Davis and this offense should be able to flourish against a Robert Morris team that struggles to score the basketball. I want to ask you this. Okay, so I've got 31 plays so far.
Yeah.
What do you think my record will be? By the way, good news for me is worst case scenario after 50 plays, I'll be at least at 32%. Major losing, but still. What do you think I'll be at after 50?
After 50
plays? Right at most, when we get to 50. Give me a number what you think I'll be
There's
at.
There's 19 more plays?
Yeah.
I think you'll go, I was going to say 12-7. That's a little aggressive. Let's go with 11-8. You'll be 27-23. You'll be at 54%.
Okay.
Just above the Mendoza
betting line. I'm taking the over
well,
right now.
You know, you've had some bad injury luck.
Last couple of days, it really has. It's been bad. And you know the worst part of some of these injuries, and that's one thing I would advise people, is pay attention up to the last second. And if you don't do it, the easiest thing is follow the beat reporters of the teams on Twitter. You will get information. For people that are unfamiliar, in the NBA, coaches hold press conferences, just short mini press conferences, a lot of times in their offices. About an hour and a half before tip-off, you'll get some information on some injuries. College basketball, same thing. Check the social media pages. They'll give you information just a few minutes before tip.
All right, Amal, we can catch up. We got a couple NBA games on the slate we didn't get to, and then some good college basketball games out west, three of them. Let's start with the NBA. We'll go to Denver, where the Wizards, off that loss to the Clippers, the blowout loss, traveled to Denver. Denver, Jokic off the 41 against Dame in Portland the other night. They played this game in Washington on 217, 130, 128. The Wizards did prevail in that matchup. Here we're looking at a number 7, 237.5, and I'm all, I got to tell you, if I was betting this game, I'd look over.
There's no reason to not look over. We know Washington doesn't play defense, and Andy Bailey just talked about it. Who's going to defend for the Denver Nuggets? They're not a team that plays a ton of defense. I think this is an over-adjustment on the number, Mike. I would be looking here at the home team with Denver. Remember, Washington was catching 12.5 against the Clippers. They get dusted there. I know they'll probably be a little bit more competitive, but they have not played any defense all year long. I tend to agree with you here.
The final game on the slate tonight comes in the Central time zone because of the TV game, and it's the Milwaukee Bucks looking to win their fourth straight at home. They're going to host the New Orleans Pelicans, who you like last night. New Orleans actually beat the Bucks 131-126 in New Orleans on January 29th. We see the Bucks as a 9-point favorite, another high total, 242.5.
Wow, that's an insanely high total, but it's hard to bet these games under, as you alluded to. First half total of 123.5. Mike, I think you have to take a look at the Pelicans here +9. This Milwaukee team, until they can show consistency, we saw them take care of business by a large margin against Oklahoma City. I just can't back them. And the other thing is, one other thing I want to check on in terms of injuries. Steven Adams is going to be a go tonight. Obviously, we know Drew Holiday's still out, and Punchin' Bobby Portis still out, obviously, for the Milwaukee Bucks. But to me, I would be looking at taking the +9 in this particular matchup.
All right, let's switch our attention to the Pac-12. Couple great matchups tonight. A rivalry game with Oregon going to Stanford. Earlier in the year, The Ducks were successful at home, winning in Eugene 73-56 just after the turn of the year on January 22nd. Stanford, only their fifth home game of the whole year.
Yeah.
Now, we see Oregon a 1.5-point favorite here, coming off a 17-point victory on their home court. Is this line enough of an adjustment?
I think the line's right where it should be. I think it's a fair number. For people that are unfamiliar, Stanford has played down in Santa Cruz at the G League home of the Golden State Warriors. Now they're back in Maples Pavilion, only their fifth home game of the year. And for just for the NCAA tournament, those are being considered neutral site games in Santa Cruz. I think this team is very good defensively. I think they're better than Oregon. They've got Dejon Davis and Bryce Wilkes back. Those guys on the perimeter are outstanding. Da Silva's going to have a big day for Stanford inside the post. It's going to be a great matchup to watch inside here between Oregon and Stanford. I'm not going to touch this game. I couldn't even tell you who's going to win. I think this is one. It's in play all the way. I think this is going to be a 1-2 possession game.
Well, let's head west to Boulder, where USC gets a rare chance at revenge. They've only lost four games all year, three in the Pac-12, but one of them was at home in L.A. 72-62, the Buffs took care of them on the road when they met on New Year's Eve. We see Colorado actually a 3.5-point favorite against 19th-ranked USC.
Yeah, 3.5 is a little bit of a big number revenge spot for Andy Enfield's team. They did a terrific job against Oregon on Tuesday. Now they go into Boulder, quick turnaround, 48 hours. Mike, again, for me, this is a stay-away spot. I think this number is right where it should be. I thought this number should be 3-4. Colorado, terrific team. I got to throw out one of my favorite stats. You know I love this, free throw shooting. This team, six of their seven leading scorers all shoot 81% or better at the free throw line. You know, when you get into foul trouble, and especially at home, we know the advantage of free throws. This team is tough to beat. I'm going to stay away from this game.
All right, now let's switch our attention to the Mountain West. There are four teams with only three losses in conference. Boise State at 14-3, though, would be the regular season champion if it ended today because of winning percentage in conference. This is a two-game set tonight, and then they play again at the Viejas Center Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock Pacific time. Here's an interesting stat. Boise State is 16-0 when they score 73 points or more. San Diego State is 14-0 when they score 69 or more. We see a total of 137.5. Of course, we know the Aztecs can defend. They're sixth in the nation, holding their opponents to 58 a game.
Yeah, I to me, the number leans a little bit high, but the Aztecs at the Viejas Center have generally been a very, very good team for the last decade. In this one, Mitchell's going to have a big day, but on the other side, it's not about, for me, it's not going to simply be about what Alston does. I think you look at Shaver as their guy who's got to really be able to contribute here, Mike. If he can do that, they've got a chance. I like the plus six. I think the Aztecs win the game. I don't think they cover the game.
Any interest in this total, knowing that both teams are successful when they can get higher into the game? Those games in Boise against Utah State both played into the high 140s, 150s.
Yeah, I thought Boise State shot the ball particularly well, forced Utah State to play at Boise State's pace. Both of these teams are going to be content going up and down the floor. It really comes down to how well they defend. I think both of these teams can defend particularly well. That'll be the difference. I would lean towards the over if you're going to play it. I'm not going to touch it, but I think this is, you know, we talked about Michigan-Iowa. That might be the best matchup of the night, but to me, from a competitive standpoint, this might be the best game of the day.
Yeah, I think it's a terrific college basketball slate tonight. Both those Big Ten games are must-see, and they're tough games, 5, 4.5, the line 4. Tough spot for Ohio State to go up to Michigan State. Real tough spot for Iowa.
I agree with you on the games you just mentioned. I'm looking forward to the USC-Colorado game. I think the front line of Mobley and Peterson at 6'8", I think it's going to present some challenges for Colorado. And I think we saw USC bounce back after Arizona against Oregon. Now they've got an opportunity to get some revenge here.
Yeah, that's one of your teams that you like to play. They've been doing well, and I think that's the only team in the Pac-12 that can make any noise in the tournament.
I completely agree with you on that in terms of teams that can make noise in terms of the NCAA tournament. The Pac-12 tournament's going to be a lot of fun here in Las Vegas. Tomorrow, we're going to have Wayne Krivsky, former Cincinnati Reds general manager. I almost forgot what team he was on. Join us tomorrow. Coming up next is going to be Betting Across America. Mike Pritchard and James Salinas are next.